Blog Talk Radio.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Welcome to H Blues Word.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I will punch the hell out of you. Say something else.
You are now rocking with the best. Best.
Good evening. I'm your host, ACB, and you are listening to H Blues Word on Hampton Blue Radio via Blog Talk. It is Friday, February 21st, 2014. Can't believe that February is almost over, where you just got to think, like, where in the hell did the time go? But some would say it's moving too fast. But maybe it's us, really. We are not living enough in the present as we once did as children, when time seemed to take forever. As adults, we are thinking too much about what we need to do in the future. So time appears to move faster, but it always has been the same. So we must do as the great spiritual teachers of the past and the present have taught us and are teaching us, which is to live in the now. And right now, you are here listening to me, and joining me tonight will be Miss Fancy. We will speak on the Michael Dunn verdict. Michael Dunn is the man who happens to be white, who killed a teenage black male because he was, along with his friends, playing his music too loud. Dunn claimed self-defense despite the teens being unarmed. And within this discussion, we will speak on, I guess you could say, the myth of dangerous black kids. Lastly, we will speak on the Real Housewives of Atlanta and Mama Joyce. Particularly her possibly trying to frame her daughter Candy's fiance, Todd. The question is, I guess, is she taking her, quote, motherly love a bit too far? But before we begin, be sure to note that you can check out the archive of this episode and other episodes by pretty much going to either blogtalkradio.com / Hampton Blue. Just remember not to put the E on the blue. Or you can go to iTunes or the Stitcher Radio app, which is a radio app that you can get online, or you can get it through your phone. That's the Stitcher Radio app. And usually they show you the last four episodes or five episodes that we've done. On iTunes, you can get all of the episodes. But you go there, and you simply search Hampton Blue Radio for both platforms. And again, there's no E on the blue. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and all that by, again, searching or plugging in your social media URL, Hampton Blue, no E on the blue. So that is BLU. Okay, after a quick break, we will speak on Jordan Davis. But first, check out artists Lenore Hollywood and Tatiana's song Live On. I want to dedicate this song to Jordan Davis and others who have lost their lives due to ignorance. The song is Live On. Check it out.
Please tell me why you left me so soon. Got me feeling all alone. This pain only lasts for a season. Would somebody please tell me why it is that these wounds just won't heal? Every day seems more real, 'cause it keeps on playing in my mind. I never thought that'd be the last time I would see.
Now all I do
right? Is it cause I'm walking around here late at night? Is it cause I'm hoodied up so you think I might cause a disturbance, probably start a fight? I guess cause I'm me, I'm automatically a threat. Charged with being black, or maybe in the wrong place at the wrong time. Shit, I ain't know that was a crime. Somebody call 911, there's a young guy here and he's looking like he's up to no good. But little do they know, he would never hurt a fly. Got a future so bright and he doing what he should. Raised all up, but in the second shot down. Black, empty the clip, another round. Shout out to Romali, shout out to Noel. Shout out to Reynaldo, shout out to Chantel. These are just a few of the hundreds who've been killed. In 06, we all remember Sean Bell. But we live on so they memories prevail. Stand up, families, I wish you well.
Stand up, stand up, stand up. Stand up, stand up.
From the trial over Florida teen's death, Jordan Davis, his death, after a loud music argument, says most of the panel wanted a murder conviction, and she stated that race wasn't a factor in the deliberations. Check her out.
I never once thought about, oh, this was a black kid, this was a white guy, because that wasn't the case.
So people who say, you know, here's another white guy who got away with shooting and killing a black kid, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that they really should acknowledge themselves on the law.
If this case wasn't about race, then what was it about for you?
It was about justice.
Justice.
When I walked into it, I just wanted to bring justice to whoever it was. If it was Michael Dunn, I wanted to bring justice to him. If it was Leland, Tevin, Tommy, or Jordan, I wanted to bring justice to them.
Well, yeah, it's very interesting. But I have to say, in my opinion, race most definitely was a factor in this case and has been for centuries in America. And yesterday, we still, of course, have a race problem in America. So right now, most may be subconscious, you know, not as overt as it maybe once was. But then again, we have a dead black teen, so maybe it is still overt. But in my opinion, in the present, a lot of it is subconscious. But black males in particular are a target, usually because of their race, and they are automatically viewed as thugs or dangerous. Jesse Williams of Grey's Anatomy, to me, said it best.
It's not a black problem. This is a white problem. This is an American problem. This is a societal problem where people should be outraged when a man is able to instigate an interaction with kids and then shoot them where it doesn't go well. It should be an outrage for everybody. We shouldn't have to, you know, people were certain that OJ was guilty, positive, and we can crack jokes about it for years, but people are kind of on the fence and kind of, you know, cowering in break rooms and not talking about this case. I think it was really telling that the defense attorney today said that this wouldn't really even be, you know, a household case if it wasn't for the Zimmerman trial, which really goes a long way to explain that how much, you know, the indifference around black life. This idea of having to explain why it's racial while we're standing in our own blood is silly, I think. It's racial because it doesn't happen to white people. Because look at the crack laws. Look at the fact that 51% of crack users are white, but 95% of the people in jail for crack use are black. Look at the fact that prison is one of the most profitable and growing industrial complexes in this country, and they now have for-profit prisons that have a mandated 90% occupancy rate to make money. This is an industry, and these are all fingers on the hand of a gross injustice that's been happening in this country. It has not stopped. We're waiting for it to stop, and that will feel like a triumph. But it's not. There is no question that race is an issue when you look at the amount of boys that are being shot because you feel scared. The idea that feeling threatened is not the same thing as being threatened. It's not the same thing. We pretend that it is, but it's not. This fantasy that the boogeyman is out to get you. What if he was playing Bon Jovi? What if he was blasting Bon Jovi in that parking lot? Would he be able to have his life then? Would that be okay? Would he have gotten a thumbs up and this drunk can go walk back into, and I say drunk because he's drunk, not a criticism of people who are alcoholic, but if, you're going to the gas station to get wine after having several rums, that he would have got a thumbs up and kept walking, he would be able to keep his life then? I mean, this is preposterous. I think that's the frustration that a lot of Americans are feeling, a lot of folks that I'm talking to, is that we have to keep fighting to be heard and to be treated as human beings. This is not close, this case. This guy is a sociopath.
And now for those of you who like to deal with numbers, according to an FBI study, homicides with a white suspect and a black victim are 10 times more likely to be acquitted. In shoot-first states, that gap is even wider. Cases with a white perpetrator and a black victim are 281% more likely to be ruled justified, same suspect had killed a white victim. It has been revealed that Michael Dunn is quite a hateful person, a man. His own words captured in the jailhouse letters reveal a man at war, a man so caught up in his own racial fantasy, so transfixed by his own bigotry, spellbound by his own sense of unbridled moral superiority, that he could not find shame in the murder of a 17-year-old child. He stated to his fiancée, according to her, she actually said this on the stand under oath, that while driving up to the gas station parking lot, he stated to her that he hates that thug music. So he already had it in his mind, race and stereotypes. The young men in the car next to him, boys who had just come from a day at a nearby mall, like typical teenagers do, were immediately deemed gangsters and up to no good. So for Don, the fact that they were black and the hard thumping hip-hop streaming from the oversized speakers was all the proof he needed. Michael Dunn, like many others, including George Zimmerman, which we just dealt with, believes the myth that black means dangerous. But how absurd for them to believe such a myth. In fact, the Bureau of Justice Statistics notes that most crime is intra-racial. Statistics show that 84% of white victims are killed by whites, and 93% of black victims are killed by blacks. Now, in the wake of the Michael Dunn trial, there was a hashtag on what people call Black Twitter, hashtag Black Twitter, I guess, and the hashtag was hashtag Dangerous Black Kids. It went viral thanks to thousands of tweets challenging blanket stereotypes and the criminalization of black children. Following last Saturday's verdict, writer Jamie Nesbitt Golden kicked off the hashtag, actually, with the caption, here's potential future threat to society walking into the living room alongside a photo of her adorable young son. It seems to come as a direct response to the jury in the Dunn case failing to agree on a verdict for the first-degree murder charge he received for fatally shooting Jordan Davis. Within minutes of Golden's tweet, hashtag Black Twitter was trending with photos of lovable children alongside sarcastic and oftentimes witty comments poking fun at the absurd perception that young black kids are a threat to society. Black Twitter leaves no stone unturned in the dialogue to counter the dehumanization and criminalization of black children, especially boys. So again, in a nutshell, hashtag Dangerous Black Kids represents the outrage that many blacks feel about the continued racial profiling on black boys and men. Of course, by using the satire to confront the stereotypes. But now is the time, in my opinion, for organizing strategic action around repealing Stand Your Ground laws, whom many are calling a type of new Jim Crow law. In the past, Jim Crow laws created an atmosphere that made it okay or acceptable to lynch black Americans. At one point, it has been said that 1 to 2 lynchings would occur each week for decades, particularly perhaps from 1887 to 1937. They became so common that people began to become somewhat apathetic, almost like they are now when it comes to the deaths of young black men in particular. The great 20th century scholar W.B. Du Bois disturbed of the nonchalantness of the news of a lynching, began hanging a black flag outside the NAACP's New York headquarters window, and the flag had a message on it. The message read, "A man was lynched today." Well, as stated, black males are still a target, are in many ways still being lynched, and stand your ground, again, is in modern-day Jim Crow, causing modern-day lynching. If a black male does not dress what the majority deems appropriate, if he walks a certain way, if he listens to a certain type of music, he is deemed dangerous. Therefore, he is killed, and his killer calls himself a victor and a victim. And that is a quote directly from Michael Dunn, by the way. We must not remain silent on this issue. We must start the process now and educate America on this so-called race thing, which is all make-believe. You know, we're all human beings, really. But so we must end racial profiling. We must end lynching. We must wake up, as Spike Lee would say. We've been asleep for far too long. So I would like to bring on Ms. Fancy to help me with this discussion. Ms. Fancy, how are you this evening, and what are your thoughts on the Michael Dunn verdict and the killing of Jordan Davis?
Hey, Stacey.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, my gosh, that was a lot. The song was great. The song was great. Shout out to the artist, Hollywood & Co., because that song, I think, the first time I heard it, I told you, I said I loved it so much.
Oh, yeah,
not
absolutely.
Just because of its depth, but I mean, it's a beautiful song.
It is.
Stacey, in regards to everything that you just discussed, I mean, it's definitely racial and it's definitely personal for me as a black woman. You know, listening to everything that you just laid out, you know, I went through a varying degrees of different emotions, just, you know, from anger to resentment to just disgust. And it's just like, it is the modern day Jim Crow, obviously. You know, you mentioned that the Jim Crow laws was used to cultivate this atmosphere of fear. And I definitely think nothing has changed at all. I think that they're trying to instill this feeling of helplessness and fear amongst people of color, and that justice is not blind, and people of color, and especially men of color, should be fearful because their lives are undervalued in our society.
Absolutely. What was interesting about this juror? It was a black woman.
Of course she was. And it's, you know, it's just like, where do they find these people? You know. Where do they find these people? Like, she didn't believe
that.
Shocked.
Yeah.
She didn't believe that at all. She didn't believe what she was saying. And it's...
Yes. Yeah.
It's just disgusting. And, you know, like, I get very angry and just upset. So I'm going to try to achieve a lighter tone. Shout out to... what was the actor's name who...
Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to him because he was very eloquent and articulate, and I think he basically said what people of color have been trying to say for years. But you know what else I liked? I liked the fact that he didn't want to offend the alcoholics out there. He's just like, no,
exactly, right?
I'm not throwing shit on the alcoholics, but you know what I'm saying. That was really funny. Shout out to the alcoholics.
Yeah, that was funny.
People who like a drink, it's nothing wrong with it. Just, you know, moderation, people. Everything in moderation.
Exactly. Yeah, but it is interesting because the juror is 21. She can't possibly believe what she's saying.
Maybe she was paid off. Who knows? But, she definitely isn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I don't think that was any accident.
Exactly, and I didn't want to say that about her, but pretty
well,
much.
Well, you know, I'll be the one to say it. No filter, Miss Fancy. The S of Fancy is for the lack of filter, people.
And it's a shame, you know, that, you know, well, because we... as black people, sometimes we are judged by other black people, almost as if we're like monolithic.
Always, always. Whereas white people can spaz out, you know, start eating other people, and it's just like, oh, Mike's just having fun. Nobody judges Mike for being crazy, but let one black person do something or say something, then it's just an attack on the entire race.
Now, speaking of an attack on an entire race, what about that Toni Braxton on Bethany today saying that she and her husband pretty much have a divorce like white people? What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, you know, I have a lot to say about Miss Toni Braxton, Miss Diva herself, but I'll just focus on that. Shout out to the Braxtons. I watched the season finale tonight. Shout out to Tamar Braxton, who I absolutely adore. But going back to Toni was dead wrong. And here's the thing with Miss Toni Braxton, and this is what I think, you know, after watching her on the show. Toni Braxton can sing, and she's so beautiful and very sexy. However, she lacks in personality. She does not have a personality, and she pretends, and she tries to be witty, and she tries to be clever, and she tries. So she goes through her, you know, through the motions of always trying to achieve something. And I think today on the show, I think she was trying to be funny, and she just tried it, basically, because she was dead wrong. There's nothing funny about that. What do you mean you got a divorce like white people, like black people are animals? Just like her sister Tamar said, and I quote, ratchetness is a choice. A choice. It's not just regulated to black people. You can be white and you can still be ratchet, Miss Toni Braxton.
Absolutely, because
she was dead wrong.
Because even Madame Noir, I think, is that how you say the blog? They even pointed out, what about Alec Baldwin? What about Lorraine? What is it, Bobbitt? And
exactly.
All of the crazy
white people you see all the time. It's just like, Toni, it wasn't funny, and I get it. I get what she was trying to do. She, you know, she wanted to be funny, and it was an epic fail. Yes, it was.
Yeah, and that's the exact type of thinking that we need to stop. You know, that's what, and I hate to bring it back to serious, but that's in many ways why black males are targeted, because people just, they look at race when, I guess, in what we're saying is, they're just crazy people, period. Whether you're black, white, brown, red, whatever. You're crazy, you're crazy. You have a bad divorce. It has nothing to do with your race.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's a stereotype that black people, you know, don't get married and they just have babies. But her sister Tamar is happily married. So, you know, obviously there's the stereotype and there's the stigma, but then you have reality. So Toni Braxton definitely, you know, was wrong for making that statement. It wasn't funny. And while we're on Toni Braxton, so I told you I watched the finale tonight, and the Braxtons, you know, I love me some Braxtons, because I have a bunch of sisters. We don't sing, though. We can't sing. But no, we can't. Well, maybe, you know, a couple people in my family can hold a note, but I'm tone deaf. Anywho.
Oh, okay.
What I was going to say is I like watching this show because, you know, there's moments, you know, although it's reality television and a lot of it is staged and choreographed, there's, you know, real moments when you catch the sisterhood, and you have to be a sister, you know, with a lot of sisters to understand what that means. And the camaraderie on that set is definitely genuine. They definitely fight, but they definitely enjoy each other's company, and that's what I love about the show.
Absolutely.
However, with that being said, Toni Braxton, you need to stop lightweight hating on your sister Tamar. It's passive-aggressive, and it's definitely transparent. We get it, Toni Braxton. You are a diva. You've been a diva. You've won many awards and accolades and had so many songs, some of which I still love. I can play over and over again because as a little girl, I looked up to you, Toni Braxton. However, what I don't like is you lightweight hating on your sister Tamar. This is her time. Let her shine. And you know what I mean, Miss Toni Braxton. She gets nominated for awards now. Look at all the Grammys I have. Do you want to hold my Grammys, Tamar? Tony, stop
oh,
it.
Wow.
We remember the star that you were, that you still are. Let Tamar have her shine. And with that being said, Tawanda Braxton, you are peering
oh,
with
Wanda.
Envy.
Yeah.
She is just, you are just terrible. That statement she made about when Tamar was like, listen, I cannot help if I'm big. And then Tawanda's like, oh, and I can't help that you're fat. Tawanda, you know you're jealous. You know you're jealous. You know you can't take the idea that Tamar is famous. It's so obvious. It's so obvious. And you know what? I was very happy to see that they somewhat reconciled their differences for this finale's sake. However, I don't like that it really wasn't handled for us to see, the viewers, because we don't know what happens in Braxton world. You know, they probably had their heart-to-heart talks, because that's what sisters do. You know, you sit, you fight, you hash it out, you beat the death out the horse. You do what you have to do to get through a bad situation. But I'm happy that they seem like they squashed it for the finale, but I don't like the way they made it seem as if Tamar was the villain the entire season. And while Miss Tay-Tay does have her ways, and we all know she is not perfect, she did not deserve a lot of things that was said and done. And I will say that, and not just because I'm a Pisces like her, because it's the truth.
I agree. I didn't see the finale, but I do think that they're a little hard on Tamar.
Exactly.
Sure.
She's just trying to have fun. And, you know, this is the best time of her life. She just had a beautiful baby. You know, her dream came true. She's this songstress, and that we love. And she's not just a songstress, she's a phenomenon. Like, she's Tamar Braxton. She has her bopdoop.com and Shady Boots, and people are replicating that. Like, she's part of pop culture. You have to give credit where credit is due. And Miss Tamar Braxton, you did that. Don't let anybody take it away.
She absolutely did, because maybe not too many people know the story, but the Braxtons, they were always a group from the beginning, but I guess they auditioned for L.A. Reid and Babyface back in the 90s, or maybe even was the late 80s, who knows, but whatever, that era. And Babyface in L.A. liked Tony Braxton. So Tony went solo, which I have to think was extremely hard for them because they had been trying together. So for that to happen, but for Tamar to still come out and still be a great star is amazing, because, you know, most people would just kind of maybe give up on a dream, but she kept going.
Mm-hmm. Well, shout out to the Braxtons, and, you know, Tamar is my favorite sister, but my favorite person on that show is Mama Evelyn. Shout out to Miss Evelyn, because
I love her too.
Is a lady, and she is a mother, and I love her. Miss Evelyn, you make me feel like I'm one of your children. You are stern, but you are fun. You get your point across, but you're not cruel. I respect you as a mother, and it takes having a good mother to recognize a good mother, and I have a great mom. And Mama Evelyn, you are one too. Shout out to Mama Evelyn.
Yeah, shout out to Mama Evelyn. Now, speaking of mamas, let's get into the Real Housewives of Atlanta. And Mama Joyce, mother of housewife Candy Bird.
I am loving your transitions tonight. You are so seamless with the transitions tonight. Oh, my God. Don't you know I was salivating at the thought of talking about Mama Joyce tonight, okay?
Okay. But first, let me play this clip of Todd, Candy's fiance.
Yes, play the clip.
Yes, I got quite a few clips, so hang tight real quick, but we're about to go in. But first is a clip of Todd, Candy's fiancé, speaking on his frustration with Mama Joyce and how this could potentially affect his relationship with Candy. Check this out.
That mama has you mind, and she continues to mind you. And you
excuse me?
Yeah. And if you don't check that, she'll continue to run this relationship, run this house, run your business, and everything else. Even for me, it's only a certain amount of time before I'm going to feel like, you know what, I love you, babe, but we can be friends.
So you saying that you leaving me, regardless how mad my mom getting me, she's never going to leave me here, ever.
And I feel you.
I'd rather be the one whose feelings are hurt before I sit up and let my mama be upset. That's just how I roll, and I'm sorry that y'all don't like it.
Now, for those of you who may have missed the show. Here's again my favorite reviewer, Miss P, from YouTube, breaking down what happened on the show. Check it out.
Candy, she's getting her workout on, and Carmen comes in, and she like, girl, what's wrong, girl? And she like, I'm not feeling good. And she like, girl, come to find out, Mama Joyce done shat on everything. Everything was going good. She was like, I'm going to leave you alone, Candy. No, she didn't. She did not leave her alone. So what had happened was, everybody know this dude named Benny, right? Benny real good friends with them and Candy Mama, right? Come to find out, Mama Joyce, she was going to pay Benny to set up Todd, to break up Todd and Candy. And, of course, Candy was like, oh, hell no. The funny part was when Carmen saved the message from Mama Joyce, and it went a little something like this. You a low-down bitch, and then I'm going to whoop your motherfucking ass, bitch. That's kind of what it sounded like. You a low-down heifer. How you gonna leave it with, you a old heifer? It was too much. That was not cool for Mama Joyce to do that. I didn't like it at all. And then you gonna end it with, you a low-down dirty heifer. Girl, bye.
Carmen, what the you call, Christopher? You know this damn truth, but I tell you one thing. You put your hand on that girl, I'm gonna drag your ass up and down the damn street.
You are too old, Mama Joyce, to be doing all that, bruh. A little too old, boo-boo. It was funny, but at the same time, I was like, for real, you ain't got nothing else to do? It is time for the chat with Candy and Todd. To me, it seemed like Todd was more excited to hear what Carmen was doing. He was like, what Carmen say? Tell Carmen to come out. I want to see Carmen. Benny is doing the most. Benny would have to go, okay? Of course, Todd was pissed, of course. Candy's mad, too. And then she starts crying. Ooh, Todd was like, your mama be mind-fucking you, girl. You need to get it right, girl. And she was like, hold on, Todd. What you saying, Todd? Because if ain't nobody gonna hold me down, it's my mama. And he was like, well, girl, you ain't gonna be with nobody. Yes, Keith Sweat. Yes, nobody. Ty said, you know what? It might come to the point where I got to go. And she was like, what you saying, Ty? He was like, I said it. I agree with Todd and Carmen. I mean, there's no excuse for your mama to be doing all that extra mess. And your relationship is your relationship. Not saying you need to tell your mama, fuck you, mama. You don't need to do that. But at least you need to talk and figure out what is all this craziness going on. Because you didn't like the last little boy, rest in peace. You didn't like the one before that or the one before that. Figure it out, girl.
Yes, now... Mama Joyce, Todd, and Candy yesterday were on The View speaking on Mama Joyce's issues with Todd and Candy's relationship. And this is what Mama Joyce had to say today or yesterday regarding Todd. This is the latest from Mama Joyce.
Now, from what we've seen of Todd, he loves Candy. He's got a great job that he loves. He seems like a really decent guy. What about him don't you care for?
You say he has a what?
Okay, all right, well, okay.
We're getting a little bit of that's a low blow off the bat, Mama Joyce.
No, well, really, Todd seems like a very nice person. And when I met him, he seemed like a very nice person. But I have a problem with after his first job, which was doing the Kim and Cora wedding, he took like 2 months off. Now, I come from a family of men that worked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I had a problem with that.
Okay.
You know, and also I had, he said that he was using part of his savings. Mm-hmm. You
okay.
know,
uh-huh.
And when you are ready to me stepping up, I felt like you don't need to use part of your savings mm-hmm. to take 2 months off. And it's not all about, if it was just Candy, mm-hmm. I would agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
But Candy has a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would listen,
that?
And that's who I'm worried about.
But you know,
now let me, excuse me, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
If you would listen to last week, week before last, Todd was on Andy's show.
Andy Cohen.
Andy Cohen. He mentioned his daughter. he mentioned about, they asked him, well, what do you think about the reactions that, the accusations that Mama Joyce had made about you and Carmen? He said, well, the only thing that bothers me is that, he had already mentioned,
yeah,
the only thing that bothers me is the fact that, Carmen has this lovely son, and I just hate what this is doing to her son and how this is affecting her son. But not one time did he say how this was affecting her.
You are too old, Mama Joyce, to be doing all that, bruh. A little too old, boo-boo.
All right, so now Todd, of course, responded to Mama Joyce. He was there on the show, and this is what he had to say.
I'm going to respond to the taking off of 2 months. First of all, I worked for True Entertainment, which produces
Housewives of Atlanta.
I was what's called a line producer, so I managed million-dollar budgets.
Yes.
I've worked with Tyler Perry. I worked with Oprah Winfrey. And when me and Candy fell in love and we were like, we're going to move forward with this relationship, I had to give up my job.
Yes.
So I gave up my job. I told True, hey, I'm seeing Candy. I'm going to be up front with you guys. And they said, hey, you know what? We don't want to stop working with you. We're going to give you the Kim show. I took the Kim show. Kim show was over.
Kim Zolciak, who was also in Real Housewives, yes.
After that show was over, as a freelance person, and this is the first time that I've ever gone without work, but as a freelance person, we put money to the side because there are days, weeks, months, that you may go without work as you're looking for work.
That's right.
So in this new relationship in Atlanta, there's a lot of work in Atlanta, but also it calls for you to travel. We didn't want to do the travel thing, so it did take a little longer for me to try to find work. But in the midst of that, I started my own production company, and I just got a show that was greenlit 2 days ago.
Right.
So I've been working.
I don't want to say you threatened, but you basically gave Candy an ultimatum. Like, look, things have got to change, or I'm out of here. Are you serious about that? Is that a real threat?
I think everyone has a breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the lies, that stuff is really tough. I have a mom, and it affects my mother. It affects my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It affects Candy's daughter. The other day, Candy's daughter told Candy, I don't like that he said he believes you. And really, that was just my frustration of the situation. I wasn't saying that to her.
So what's interesting is Candy went to Facebook and said that after the show, or before the show, Mama Joyce and Todd were even speaking, but after this show on The View, they actually were able to say a few words to one another. So, Ms. Fancy, I know that was a lot of clips, but what are your thoughts?
Let me start out with Ms. P. Shout out to Mrs. P, because she can always make me literally LOL. I was cracking up. She is just so funny with her accurate but very comical rendition of what happened on the Housewives. So shout out to Ms. P. And then Mama Joyce. Come on, Mama Joyce. Like, first, you part of the old lady gang, you know, trying to fight people in wedding dress fittings and whatnot. Now you calling people, getting nuck, leaving voicemails. And let me tell you something. Who wants to get cursed out by an old lady? Like, you know this lady's style is just so outdated. She called her a low-down, dirty heifer. Who even says that anymore? Like, it's like, you know, fuck you, you whack-ass bitch, you bum-ass bitch, you raggedy-ass bitch. Who says, you old low-down, dirty heifer? I would have felt a certain way. Like, don't call me a heifer. Who even says heifer anymore? Mama Joyce, that's crazy. And Carmen, you know, I like the way she handles herself, and Miss P is an asshole. Like, and Todd was like, I want to hear what Carmen has to say. he did look overly excited. Like, where's Carmen? Tell her to bring her red bone ass out. And that, right? Like, he was like, go get Carmen. He definitely was extra thirsty.
I don't remember that.
Really? They were out, like, I don't want to say veranda. It was another term Candy used. She's relaying to Todd what happened, and he's like, oh, well, what did Carmen say? And then he got excited when Candy told him Carmen was ready to fight somebody. He was like, yeah, I'm going to fuck you up, bitch. And he was like, yeah, that's right. And then he was like, well, what she had to say about your mama? And then he was like, call her out here, matter of fact. And then Candy called.
So,
So let's pause for a second. Do you think that he may secretly have something for Carmen?
I mean, you know, I hope not. I really would hope not because, you know, Candy seems like a very nice woman, and that would be just a devastating thing to go through. But he actually, you know,
because I don't think Carmen would do anything.
It could have just been staging, you know, reality TV. Like they were out there and they knew that they had to bring Carmen outside. Who knows? You know, but
yeah.
I'm not gonna say because Carmen actually seems like a very good friend because she tells Candy when she's wrong, and you know that's the thing about having a good friend. Your friend tells you when you're right, and she's down with you when you're wrong, and she'll stick up for you when you're wrong, but she'll pull you to the side and was like, yeah, you was wrong.
I agree.
I'll stick up for you, but let me tell you to the side when nobody's looking, you was wrong. And I think that's the type of friend Carmen is to Candy. So I don't think she's that person, and I hope not. Because
well, I don't think Carmen is, but you know, sometimes people have secret feelings. So I'm just
right.
You know,
like you never know.
Kind of pointed that out.
And
you know.
That was the case, Stacey, if it really was the case, then she deserves to have her ass dragged up and down the street.
Not Carmen, but Todd. Like with Todd being so
right. So and same for him. And same for him. And I'm glad that he was able to express his side of the story. And talk about all of the wonderful things he's doing now because it was, you know, implied over and over again that he was an opportunist and he was using Candy and using her to come up. So now he has his own stuff on the stove cooking. So maybe now Mama Joyce can fall back. And she really does need to fall back because her and Candy have a relationship that's very codependent and unnatural and somewhat inappropriate. When you have your mom finding her way and imposing on your personal relationships the way Mama Joyce does is just not right. And, you know, people are saying, oh, Mama Joyce, you know, doesn't want Candy to be with anyone. She doesn't want Candy to be happy. I don't think that's what it is. I really don't think so. It just seems to me, and this is me pulling out my psychology because I did major in psychology in undergrad, I think Mama Joyce is scared. Candy is the only person who truly loves her in her life, and she's scared of losing that love. She does not want Candy to transfer all of the love that she gives her mama to some man because she knows Candy is capable of loving. And I said this before on a show, I think Candy losing her brother traumatized Candy in a way that she hasn't fully yet to have explored. And maybe she's trying to be her mom's everything to make up for the fact that they lost her brother. But, Candy, you have to live your life for you. You really do. And say enough is enough.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that Candy definitely has a good spirit. I mean, it's interesting because I have met Candy before.
Yep.
He definitely has a great spirit. And what's interesting is, speaking of losing the brother and also not knowing her father growing up and
exactly,
it's very interesting that Todd would say that to Candy because that has to be the worst thing you could say to someone like Candy
who has abandonment issues, right? But I think that was so sexy of Todd to do. He put his foot down. He's like, I love you too much to enable you, and me allowing your mom to affect our relationship. And me not saying anything, that's me assisting and facilitating in this. So I'll tell you, I'll walk away before I serve any more part to this. I think he was a stand-up guy for that. And Candy, I know Candy sucked his dick that night. Oops.
You know
what I mean. I said Ty was rewarded. Immensely later on. Because it's nothing like a man putting his foot down and saying, this is what it is. I'm a good man to you.
Yeah, because I think
together.
Todd is a good guy. Yeah,
right.
I agree. I think I like Todd. And but we have a caller at 443. 443, what is your comment?
Hey, caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
My phone is dying. I'll call right back.
Okay.
What? Okay.
He said his phone died. He's going to call right back. We appreciate the listeners, but come on, people. If you don't have any juice, like, what was that about? Get it together. Get it together.
But I like Todd's spirit. And one thing, what we heard on The View, because one thing, I played all those clips because people really have to get the story.
Oh, my gosh. I love the Miss P clip, and I love the Mama Joyce clip. How are you going to call somebody with a straight face and say, you old low-down heifer?
What did Miss P say?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not calling people the B word anymore. They'll be the heifer. You old low-down dirty heifer.
Exactly, because, I mean, my thing is with Todd, I don't think she understands when it comes to, it looks like the caller is back. I'll save my point after this.
I hope they have their phone on the charger.
Okay,
hey, caller,
went away
from where
again.
Are you calling? What's your name?
Okay, caller went away again. But my point is that...
Okay,
we're going
to call him Casper, the friendly ghost.
Exactly. But one thing I don't think Mama Joyce understands, because she kept talking about Todd not having a job. Like Todd said, he's a freelancer. He's in an industry where you're going to be working some days and not working the other days.
Right,
at least,
because,
you know.
Stacey, I'm sorry not to cut you off, but she doesn't understand the concept of freelancing because it's after her time. She's totally old school. People didn't freelance way back when. They got up every day at 5 a.m. and they milked the cows and they went to work and they had a long, hard day of work with an honest paycheck. So this is the same woman who's running around calling people low-down, dirty heifers. Of course she doesn't understand it. You know, this guy might work 6 months out the year, and the other 6 months he'll chill because he's freelancing.
Yeah, because, and Whoopi, you could tell, like, during the interview, she was nodding her head like, yep, tell her, Todd. Yeah, you are going to have weeks, sometimes months out of the job, but, you know, he's doing obviously really well to have worked with Oprah and Tyler, so I don't quite get Mama Joyce with that. But it looks like the caller is back. Do you have anything to say? Any comments? Where are you?
Hey,
like,
caller, what's your name? And where are you calling?
Okay, maybe they're just listening. Caller.
They better just be listening, because I'm about to get Mama Joyce on this call and be like, don't make me drag your ass up and down the street. You hear me?
He's probably trying to figure out what he wants to say with all this. I mean, that, you know, there's a lot. But go ahead, Ms. Fancy. What else you want to share?
Well, you know, Mama Joyce is a hoot and a half because, come on, you dead wrong when you calling Beanie and them to set up Ty to try to put him in a situation where he's being set up. Are you going to pay somebody to set him up so you can catch him, what, squeezing somebody's ass, grabbing on their nipple? Like, and then she definitely wanted pictures. She would pay extra for pictures. Mama Joyce, stop it, Mama. You know that's not nice, Mama Joyce. You know that's not nice. Just like calling people low-down dirty heifers is not nice, that was not nice, too.
Yeah, because one thing is, I can completely understand where Todd is coming from with that, because imagine marrying into a family where the woman or man, whatever that you're marrying, would treat you that way, someone that their child has chosen and loves deeply. So to try to sabotage you, your character is deep. You know, that's probably why he kind of went off like he did, like, look, I can't stay in this.
Right.
If you are going to allow this. You know?
Yes, and he was such a man, like, of conviction, really. Like, listen, you know, a man's name is all he has, and she's trying to smear mine for no reason. I've never done anything to this woman. Why does she feel this way toward me? And then for him and her and Carmen to hash it out and for them to say, you know, maybe you should seek counseling, clearly Candy needs counseling. Like, there's a lot of deep-rooted issues between her and her mother that needs to be addressed. They need to be addressed before they can be resolved. Because by pretending...
Go ahead.
I think because by pretending that there's no problem, which Candy tries to do, like, oh, my mama, she's always going to be there for me. You can leave me. Candy, no, they're trying to help you.
And that, to me, was the most telling. That was the most telling of what you're saying of Candy's deep issues that she maybe not that, but yeah. Yeah, because
like,
she's pretty much just to deal with stuff.
Does Candy want to end up with her mama for the rest of her life? Like, Mama Joyce lived her life, and come on, Stacey, we as women know. Like, we all have the coochie decisions to make. You make the good coochie decisions and the bad coochie decisions. There's some dudes you end up with, and you're like, oh, my gosh, why did I even go through that? Why did I endure that relationship as long as I did? And then there's some guys, and you're like, oh, I don't even mind at all giving him a couple of, you know, nibs of this, right? Mama Joyce obviously had her coochie decisions. She made her good ones and she made her bad ones. Obviously more bad than good because we don't know where Candy's father is. We don't see Mama Joyce boot up. So Mama Joyce, you made your coochie decisions. Let Candy make hers because this seems like a good choice. Todd seems like a very good man, and he makes her happy.
Yeah, as Candy's new song says, let them love. Because one thing is, I think that, well, that was actually stated on The View as well, how, you know, at the end of the day, you just got to let Candy make her own mistakes, even though in this case, like you're saying, I don't think she's making a mistake.
Exactly.
I think they will have ups and downs, but I don't think it's a mistake.
And like I said, coochie decisions. Every woman, we have the right to make our own. You don't tell me what man I should be with and this, that, and the third. You can have your opinion, but it's for me to decide. And Mama Joyce lived her life. Let your daughter live hers.
Yeah, because one thing that was also revealed, which is very interesting, is Whoopi asked Mama Joyce, do you have a boyfriend? And apparently she does. And she asked her, you know, does Candy get involved with your relationship? And she admitted no. So, again, the big question is, so then why are you in her relationship? Of course, Mama Joyce said because of the child. But
right. Okay. Now, do we really believe Mama Joyce have a boyfriend? Doubt it. But even if she did, even if she did, and let's assume that she does because she said that she does, and, you know, I don't like to think about old ladies just lying for no reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's obviously not doing what he needs to do at home because why does Mama Joyce have the time to be trying to call a Beanie and them to set up Ty and then calling Carmen talking about you low down dirty heifer and I'm a drag you through the street? Like if she was getting her, you know, getting serviced, okay, serviced properly, she would not even be checking for Candy or Ty. She'd be like, all right, okay, all right, Candy, I know that's right.
And
like mama like daughter.
Yeah, and he would probably be advising her to stay out of her daughter's business. I mean, that's what most men, real men, would do, particularly if she's in a real relationship.
She doesn't have a boyfriend. That low-down. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to even say that because I'm not going to call anybody's mother a low-down dirty heifer. But I almost slipped up. Mama Joyce, be nice. See, because that's called restraint. You see how I checked myself real quick? Because I was about to just say it. But I was
pretty
like, wait, that's somebody's mother.
Pretty much again what Miss T said.
You are too old, Mama Joyce, to be doing all that, bruh. A little too old, boo-boo.
A little. See, you low-down dirty heifer. I'm a drag, you.
Oh, my goodness.
You know how I would feel if I was Carmen? That could not have resonated well with Carmen to get cursed out by an old lady like that. Because when you get cursed out by your peers, you get angry. You jump up like, what, bitch? What? You call me what? Raggedy what? Somebody say, you low-down heifer. What you going to say, Stacey? What are you going to say in response?
Oh, my goodness. No, because I think Carmen is kind of hurt, too, because I think she grew up with Candy, so she's known.
Uh-huh.
She's known Mama Joyce all her life. So I can't imagine. Like, she's probably like, really?
She feels abused. It's definitely abused. She probably feels victimized. And let's just see how the rest of this season plays out. Because speaking of the season, let's talk about our girl, Nene Leakes.
Yes, but real quick, here's this caller one more time. Caller,
I
hope
you have
something to say.
This caller is working my nerve. Caller, from where are you calling and what is your name?
Hey, this is Will calling in from Palm Beach.
Hey, Will. What's goody?
Hey. So I'm not really sure what you guys are talking about, but I wanted to recite a poem really quick that I wrote, and I think it relates to your guys' show, really. So if you guys don't mind.
Wait, hold up. Just to be clear.
Yeah.
Before we give you the yay or nay, you
okay.
wasn't really listening to our show. You
well,
don't
I wasn't
know
really
what we're
following.
Talking about, but you want to recite a poem.
Yeah, that's cool with you guys.
Stacey, what say you?
Let's hear your poem, but just remember, I do have the hang-up button, but go ahead.
Okay. So it's kind of sexual, so just, like, hear it out, though.
All okay.
Right. My dick is big, but your dick is bigger, but nothing compares to the dick on that nigger.
Okay, thank you. He's dropped.
Oh, my. Okay, so was that a poem or was that a haiku? because I'm confused. Was that a haiku?
He pretty much, you know, we sometimes get these callers who are racist.
Did he? Okay, and this is not me trying to be
overly. And like
to
call in and be racist, yeah.
Okay, this is not me being overly sensitive, but was he of the Caucasian persuasion?
Yes, I've gotten many callers like this.
And his
when we talk about black males who have been killed, et cetera.
Right.
They
so
like
he's
call
trying
in
to
call
be
his
funny.
N-word. Yeah.
So he said his dick is big, but the other dude's is probably bigger, right? Now, let's be for real. Listen, white boy, wherever you are, sitting somewhere in a room by yourself with magazines, probably jerking off because you have no personality and you're probably a loser, which is why you're calling a radio station late night with your bullshit poetry. But anyway, all that aside, we know that your dick is not big because you would not call in and say that it was. You'd be out having sex and having fun with your dick. Now, anyway, continue to beat off and write your little stupid poems and get excited about saying nigger. You're the ignorant one. Let's move on, Stacey.
Yes, thank you, Miss Fancy.
So, Nene, what is going on with our girl Nene? Now, we know she is all kinds of crazy, not as much crazy as Miss Kenya crazy more, but Nene is crazy and crazy in an entertaining way. However, Nene kind of rubbed me the wrong way last show when Kenya, being manipulative, arranged the whole charity event, and Nene was supposed to be the guest of honor, and Nene pretended like she didn't know about the event, but then later told on herself and admitted that she did know about the event, but felt like Kenya slighted her by not reaching out to her and calling her and basically kissing her ass, because after all, she is Miss Nene Leakes, the actor, and if you're going to host a charity event, then you need to make it more about me and not about charity. All that aside, Miss Nene Leakes, you were dead wrong, and you were worse than Mama Joyce, because maybe something's really wrong with Mama Joyce, because, you know, when you get older, things start, you know, falling apart, and you can't really keep it together as much. You're still able mind and body, Nene Leakes. When you grabbed that microphone out of Kenya Moore's hands, that was tacky. And then when you went on to belittle the organization by saying that it was just one of many charities that you were affiliated with, that was definitely in poor taste. And then when Peter, a.k.a. Uncle Ben, tried to tell you about yourself and how you were wrong, you were not in the place to receive it, even though you were wrong. Why show up if you're going to be the resident douchebag? You should have stayed at home. But no, you wanted to put on that dress. You wanted to wear that evening gown, and the gown was beautiful, Nene. I will give you that. However, you can't put sugar on shit. So just because you had that dress on, it did not take away from your ugly, ugly behavior, and you were dead wrong. She went as far to tell Peter, Stacey, none of these bitches are on my level. I don't have to argue with them. They are on your level because you guys are all on reality television. You're not on Glee anymore, Nene. The new normal is canceled.
It's canceled.
So, they're on your level.
So it looks like we have another caller at 817. 817, what is your comment?
Hey, caller, what's your name and from where you're calling?
Hello?
Yes?
My name is Hank Hill. I'm calling from Arlen, Texas.
You sound like the same dude that just called 5 minutes ago. Are you just bored?
I don't know what you're talking about. I just got on the Blog Talk Radio website just now.
Okay. What do you have to say tonight? What do you think about our show?
Well, honestly, I think your show is, you know, well and all, but, you know, I just think it's kind of fucking stupid.
What's fucking stupid?
Most of
besides
it, you know.
Your accent.
Oh, what the hell did you just say to me, you black bitch?
Your mother. Your mother is a
okay,
black bitch.
Okay, 111. Okay, I don't know about these callers. But.
That was the same caller. It's the same guy. He's mad that I said that he had a little penis. So now he calls back. Like, how juvenile is that? Like, really?
God.
I mean, granted, you know, this radio show, we do a lot of entertainment, and we talk about contemporary issues, but for the most part, you know, it's a very intelligent show. People, keep the ignorance at bay. Do not call here with that foolishness because you will get embarrassed. I am not that person. Do not make me get ignorant because I will.
Exactly.
Now.
And they're constantly calling back, so I'm just dropping them.
It's the same person.
Yeah, absolutely. That's crazy. Like, how much time do you have to have all these various
numbers? He has a lot of time because he obviously, like I stated earlier, he has nothing better to do. He's just, anyway, so getting back to the show. But, you know, it's funny because people want to be ignorant and they want to be racist, right? Right, and they want to say black bitch, but you're listening to our show. So obviously we're doing something right. You're so fascinated by the culture that you will sit and listen to a show and then call in and make ignorant statements. I'm flattered.
Yes, and so am I. What's crazy is, Miss Fancy, we have another caller, but I don't know if I should take this call.
Go ahead, take it. If he's stupid, just hang up on him. It's fine. We can handle it.
It's 661. 661, what do you have?
Hey, caller, what's your name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name's John Malone. I'm calling from Toronto, Canada, actually, and I've been following the Jordan Davis case pretty closely and been following the first of all, I cannot believe that man is not in jail for first-degree murder right now. I think that it's abhorrent. I think that the prosecution should be ashamed of itself. And I just want to say that I agree with what you guys are saying out here tonight. I think that people are ignorant to black culture, and I think that they got to learn. Listen, just because there's a black president doesn't mean that what happens to black people is because of Obama. Listen, Obama might have done a lot of monkey trouble in his day, but just because Trayvon got shot and Jordan Davis got shot doesn't mean Obama's involved. And just because, you know, some people are saying, and I'm not saying this, but some people are saying that maybe Israel's been up to this, maybe Israel's been helping Obama try to get attention away from Iran. You know, I don't buy that personally. But I just want to say that is some tomfoolery, and I agree with you guys. There's a lot of ignorance out there.
There is a lot of ignorance, but I want you to clarify something. Of what monkey trouble do you refer? And what do you mean by that statement?
Oh, that's just a Canadian term for, like, you know, the tomfoolery or shenanigans. We use that, I guess, more so.
Oh, okay. Maybe I was just in my feelings. I heard monkey and thought you were implying something else. I wasn't ready to
don't involve. Sorry, hello, ma'am?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, no, it's just something that Canadians like to say, like monkey trouble. I mean, actually, here in Canada right now, I'd like to say, first of all, congratulations to the women's team for winning.
Congratulations.
It was a great game, as we all know. And I just wanted to ask you, did you see the black player on the women's team?
No, I didn't watch
it. For Canada? Actually, Canada has a black player named PK Subban who's on the women's team, and she's so great. I mean, PK is one of the greatest talents of our generation, and I mean, no one's talking about PK's talents, and I think it's because she's black.
Interesting. I have to look into that.
You should. Now, getting back to Jordan Davis.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
What happened to Jordan, I mean, my heart goes out to his family, and I'm sorry that it happened to him, but listen, young black kids got to learn that their music makes, obviously, racist assholes shoot them. What needs to be done, I believe, and I mean, I'm just talking as a Canadian. I think as a Canadian, we should take away American gun rights, first of all. And second of all, what we got to do is we got to start getting rid of these young black youth and sending them back to Africa. Because honestly, they're causing a lot of monkey trouble.
Get the fuck off this phone, you dumb asshole. Go back
Excuse
to
me,
Toronto.
Ma'am. Stop being racist against Canada.
And everything
you
else.
Got you racist, insensitive.
I am. I'm very racist,
How
and
dare
I mean,
you?
You're
How
you're my
dare
target
you
because
Canada?
You're ignorant.
You know,
I'm so
Canada,
racist.
I hope Canada invades your shithole country one day. I hope you come down there.
I hope
you burn your fucking White House to the ground. And you know what? Canada is the greatest country.
You ignorant motherfucker. This is the third time you called here tonight. Get a life. Yeah.
And you realize, Carla, you are on record for saying that you want to do something to America. So
sorry for you.
What he needs to do is have sex. And he needs to just relieve some tension. But obviously, he can't get any because he's a loser. But
that's
shout out to the losers out there.
We have, like, all these callers, but I have a feeling it's these people or whoever they are. I don't
know. This is crazy, you know, and it's just... It's just so, and I say this all the time, it makes me wonder, like, you have all of this hostility and this contempt toward a race, yet you go out of your way to emulate that race. You're so fascinated by the culture, yet you're angered.
And you're
get it together.
Just sitting here, yeah, wasting time trying to, it was very weird. Oh, Lord, Miss Fancy, I don't even know what to say to all of this.
The devil is always at work. You just can't pay him no mind. And that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, people are going to be people, and people are going to be stupid. And ignorance, you know, there's no cure for it. It really isn't. If a person wants to have these stupid... How many times did he call those? Like, how dumb are you? Like, how lonely are you?
Yeah, because what's crazy is right now we have about 4 callers with various numbers. So
and it's all him.
it's
him.
What now?
And it's
exactly
they're all him. He doesn't have a life, but what he does is he wants to call a radio show, and you got your 30 seconds of fame. You crazy person. Don't you have a school to shoot up tomorrow in the morning?
Lord, Miss Benzie. This is wow.
And then when it happened,
he
was troubled. You know, he came from a troubled home. You know, there was something cognitively wrong with him. And whereas, you know, with young black men, they're always menacing and dangerous.
Exactly. But I can't even take somebody like this caller seriously. I mean, whatever. Even though we know that there's a race problem in America, but this caller is obviously just...
No, he highlighted that for us, and he basically, you know, that was the threshold of the show, and he just reiterated the problems in our society. And what he also has done and doesn't realize, and thank you, you ignorant asshole, you've just gotten our numbers up because it's a very controversial show because you're so stupid.
Exactly.
Nancy, thank you, and Stacey B, thank you.
I do thank you, and like I said, you are on record for threatening to do some bombings here in America. You don't play like that.
Yeah, well.
And hate speech and all kinds of stuff. So if I were you, I would hang up the phone.
So anywho, February 19th sparked off Pisces season. Shout out to all the fabulous, sexy, creative, intelligent Pisces out there. You know who you are. Tamar Braxton's a Pisces as well, but her birthday is in March, I believe. I'm not.
We all know that Geminis rule the world.
Well, we won't. You know, we won't get into that discussion. But the Pisces.
Shout out to all the Pisces.
Shout out to the Pisces. It's definitely Pisces season, and
my grandmother's
a
Pisces.
And then you know, Pisces are beautiful people. We can be a little crazy. We got a little crazy. But if we're acting crazy, it's because you did something wrong. And you know you did something wrong. Because if you have a Pisces jumping up out of her seat, ready to pop off like Mama Joyce calling somebody a low-down heifer, you played yourself.
And I wonder if Mama Joyce is a Pisces. I wonder if she's a Pisces.
She's something. She is something else. And she needs to stop terrorizing her poor child like that. First of all, Candy is not a pretty crier. Like, she scrunches up her face, and her face gets all contorted. You know she's really crying, because the rest of them, they try to be cute when they cry, and they do, like, the little 2 tears, and Candy was really hurt, because she did that ugly slave cry, right?
I think because it goes back to what you were saying. She always had this dream. Like, she even said it, a dream of family.
Exactly.
And it's just not coming true.
It wasn't, and Carmen was that chick, that friend, like, maybe you just better get another vision. Like, you can't, obviously your mom is not allowing you that vision. Maybe you need to reconstruct your vision, Candy.
Yeah.
It starts with you, Candy. Like, nobody can mess up your life. You are the ultimate key carrier of the decisions you make.
Absolutely. All right, Ms. Fancy, that will be our show for tonight. You have any final words? Or I guess those are your final words. I don't know.
Yeah, my final words is basically, you know, your decisions are always ultimately your own and living life for you and being happy. And happiness comes from within. You cannot attach happiness to a person, to an object, to a job. Those are fleeting, because if you attach happiness to things that can change, then there goes your happiness. You have to find it within. And let's spread happiness and let's spread love. You know, I just don't understand why there's so much hate in our society. Like, how can you hate someone so much because of the color of their skin? Why is it because we have a black president, all of this hatred is spewing out in the way that it is, where even the media, they can't even, you know, depict accurate stories without slanting it in an unfavorable light to black people?
You know,
I agree. I pray, Stacey, and I hope that, you know, that this is just a changing of the old guard, and that, you know, they're scared because, you know, we're at this point where color should not even be a topic, because you have so many mixed races and blended families where,
and different cultures and all kinds of stuff.
Where it's not even black or white. If you have so many interracial couples and the product and children as the products of these marriages and relationships. So 20, 30 years from now, who knows what this country will look like? And I think that's what people are afraid of, and they're clinging desperately to what they once knew, regardless of if it's wrong. It's just what they know, and they're scared to lose it.
That's true, and those are great final thoughts for both of us. Because I think Chris Rock even said that too. He's like, that's the sign that what we're seeing now is a sign that things are quickly changing, and it's fear of that change. But hey, you can't stop what is and what will be, because the good news is that most people aren't racist, or, you know, or at least don't want to be, because some people argue everyone's racist. But at least most of us are in a state of recovery where we're trying to get rid of that type of thinking.
Wow, this show was something. I know that tomorrow morning I'm just going to just stew silently thinking about the ignorance, but, you know, I feel somewhat mollified knowing that we did our part.
Absolutely.
So with that, I'll sign off and I'll say goodnight, and thank you to the caller. Although you were ignorant, you know, you did provide a dialogue, and that's what we do on this show. We have conversations, and you only helped that. So thank you for supporting
us. You only proved our point from, you know, what points we were making in the beginning. You just proved it.
Exactly. So, Ms. Fancy has got to go. It was a pleasure. Stacey, it's always a pleasure. I thank you again for allowing me to use the show as a sounding board for my views and my opinions and my thoughts.
Yes.
Always enjoy myself whenever I come on here. So shout out to you for putting this together.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Fancy, for joining me.
Of course. I love it.
Yes, and you know, it was a great teamwork going against that caller.
Yeah, and I was trying to keep it together. Oh my gosh, I did not want to go postal. I should have went Mama Joyce on him. That's what I should have did. I'll drag you in up Daddy Street.
Exactly, you old heifer.
You low down heifer.
I don't know. That still makes me every time. It makes me laugh.
Maybe we'll get Mama Joyce. We'll get Mama Joyce to curse him out. He'll be all right.
Exactly.
Be all right. We'll get her to tongue lash him real quick, set him straight. But
exactly.
That's it for me. Thanks everybody for listening in and supporting the show. We appreciate it, obviously. We know you do too. Good night.
Good night. Yes, that is our show for the evening. Again, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, @HansonBlue, no E on the blue. You can also catch the archive of this episode and other episodes on iTunes,
or the Stitcher Radio app, or just go to the Blog Talk Radio page, blogtalkradio.com/handsomeblue. Again, no E on the blue. Now, I would like to dedicate a song to Candy. It's a song by an artist that I work with. He does one of the shows for us, Hollywood and Friends, that airs Sundays at 8 p.m. His name is Benor. I believe his song "Pieces to My Heart" is a good song for Candy, because I believe that she's trying to kind of piece together her heart, like put her heart back together. I think it's been broken a lot. I believe Todd is someone who will make her whole, and I'm hoping that will be the case. So this song is dedicated to you, Candy. I pray and hope that Mama Joyce at least has peace with the choices, or the choice you've made in your life and for your personal life, as it is your choice and should only be your choice. Mama Joyce is a grown woman, has lived her life, is continuing to live her life. You're a grown woman. You're living your life. You know, choose your own happiness. That's the key. So this song's for you, Candy, and for everyone else. Thank you for listening. Until next time, peace.
The day was the night, the night was a day, and everybody loved when the skies were gray, and I didn't have to write it. I could tell you what I'd say. You would be my first love. You would be my first love. You would be my first love. You would be mine. And if every day I went back a little further, every day I met one less girl, I probably wouldn't be in this predicament. Was the only sound you could hear, and I didn't have to express it. You just know just how I felt. You would be my first love. You would be my first love. You would be my first love. You would be mine. And if I could ever find a way to the day and place where I met you, I'd probably see there was something I was missing all along, and that you were my first love. My heart.